Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity Gorokoff, your host, and today we have Angie Weber joining us. She is a parent coach. Listening. Thank you so much for being here today, Angie. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm so good. I'm excited to be on, and I just appreciate you holding the space for me to come on and share my story with your listeners.
Absolutely. So let's start with your story, because that's a very unique and rare one. And I like that.
Yes. So we had a conversation, obviously, before we recorded this podcast. And as you said, my story really isn't unique because it happens to millions of people all of the time. However, the uniqueness is that it's not talked about a lot. So the type of abuse that I suffered was infidelity abuse. My husband and I were married for 7 years at the time, which I roll my eyes at because how ironic, right? Like the 7 year itch. I wasn't itchy at all, but apparently he was, and I didn't know that. And, you know, we were just in a full season of life. We had toddler twins. We had moved in the last year. He had gotten a promotion. I had left my full-time job that I was at for 7 years to pursue my own business. We just had a lot of stuff going on. And I just kind of figured, you know, marriage goes through different seasons. And we're just in one of those stages where we're a little disconnected because we have so much going on. And I recall driving one day and thinking to myself, I guess this is just what my marriage is. I loved my husband so much. I never thought about divorce, but I thought, you know what? If he is missing out on opportunities to spend time with our kids, to spend time as a family, he doesn't seem to be making it a priority. That's on him because I'm not going to miss out on those opportunities. But slowly, the weekends turned into the same old thing. It was me crying, me begging, why aren't you talking to me? What's wrong? I felt like I was walking on eggshells all of the time because anytime I would say, you know, oh, I wish you would have, you know, done this, or why don't you want to hang out with us, or why aren't you talking to us? He'd get super defensive. And then all of a sudden I would feel like the bad person for bringing anything up. And so even though there were some good times and, you know, he'd kiss me goodbye every morning and say, I love you. He'd text me before the weekend came, hey, can't wait to hang out with you, or I'm really looking forward to what we're doing. It just seemed to be this pattern that progressively got worse. Now, looking back, there were definitely more red flags that I was completely ignoring, because prior to us getting married, we had already been through a few hardships. He was going through financial stuff when we first met or started dating. His mom passed away from suicide 5 months into us dating. My family had suffered some losses as well. And so going into the marriage, I was like, we have already gone through so much and we're such a strong team. Like I'm excited for this next chapter because I know we can make it through anything. Little did I know this is the next thing that we'd have to make it through, right? And so the weekends just continued to be that same cycle. And there was one night that I did question him if something was going on, which of course he denied it. And I went down to my best friend's house that night and told her, I said, I even asked if he was cheating on me, which is a ridiculous idea because I know where he is. He goes to work, he comes home, and he's gone one night a week with his friends on a league. And if he wasn't there, I would know about it because they talk about it all the time. And she even was like, yeah, absolutely not. He would never do that. And then a couple weeks later, we had spent a lot of good quality time together. So I kind of had this sigh of fresh air and I was like, okay, this is what we needed. We just needed time together. And it was great. Well, the following weekend came and ironically enough, the day before I found out, I was shopping with my best friend and another friend because her wedding was coming up and we were out to dinner. And for some reason, one of the girls said, what would you do if your significant other cheated on you? And I remember saying, oh, gosh, I just don't know. And little did I know I would be faced with that crossroads in less than 24 hours. And when he told me, again, I truly didn't believe anything was going on because it seemed so far-fetched. However, it came out of my mouth again on a Sunday evening. And I just said, are you cheating on me? And he said, absolutely not. What would make you think that? And a couple minutes later, he rolled over and he's like, I have been cheating on you. And my whole world crashed. And they say the saying of, when a rug gets pulled out from underneath you, I never knew what that meant until that moment. And I'm not going to deny, it was very movie style, dramatic, like of throwing my rings across the room and yelling and questioning him about who, why, where, when. And I thank God to this day that my children did not wake up, because we had 4-year-old twins at that time who slept across the hall from us. And I don't know how they didn't, but I'm so thankful that they didn't. And that was really the start of 2 healing journeys from that point. We both decided that we wanted to work on our marriage. And so we started that healing journey. And then about 1.5 years into it, I really started my own healing journey of needing to fix myself, which seemed so unfair. Because I didn't do this. I didn't get a choice in this. I now had to fix myself after I didn't break myself. Like, there were so many things that were unfair. And I would constantly say that in marriage therapy of, it's not fair. It's not fair that he made this choice. It's not fair that this is part of our story now. It's not fair, fill in the blank. And she finally looked at me one day and said, you're right. It's not fair. And it's not going to be fair. And so I really had a choice in that moment of, am I going to continue on hoping that it's going to be fair one day, knowing that it's not, or am I going to kind of pull up my bootstraps and try to figure out how to heal myself? Because I'd finally come to the conclusion that him being faithful is nothing that I can control. It's not my responsibility if he's going to make this choice. It is his own. And the reason, and I shared with you right before we started recording, that this is the first time that I've publicly talked about my abuse of infidelity, which obviously has a lot of emotional abuse and psychological abuse. But the reason I felt so led to sharing this story with your audience is because when I was going through the first part of our healing journey, I was praying, I was looking, I was hoping, I was searching for anyone who had been through this and made it through on the other side. Now, it's not always the right choice to stay. And if you leave, it is hard. And if you stay, it is hard. However, we live in a society that you are constantly given these messages of once a cheater, always a cheater. You'd be so stupid to stay. Do you not have any self-dignity? Why would you ever stay in that situation? And so you're fearful of speaking up and being like, yeah, that's a part of our story. And I stayed because of all the judgment you think you're going to get from it. And finding someone was a really pivotal moment in my life to know, hey, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope through this healing process that perhaps we can still have a long, happy life together.
I mean, it's true. It's the second time I hear that story. I think that you have overcome that kind of abuse.
Yes.
That's what I feel listening to your story again. Because when your value is that once you are together, there is only you and that person, nobody else in the marriage, in the special connection, build a family, build a future, grow old together. When you have that as a value, when one or the other start to go flirting elsewhere and dream something else and see what's possible, it leaves you empty, dreamed. I mean, your dream becomes like worthless. There is no dream anymore. And, and bringing yourself back up from there, that is a healing journey indeed.
Absolutely. And it's a hard one. And it's one that takes a lot of time and healing. And now I can say, after 4 years of going through this healing journey, I have discovered so much about myself. Because when it happened, I mean, my self-confidence was already low, but it was crushed at that point. I suffered from major depression and anxiety, PTSD. I was getting triggered all the time. And it felt like this big open wound that every time I just even got bumped a little bit by a trigger, or he'd say something and I'd question stuff, because there was so much of the time that I spent feeling like I'm the crazy one here, like I'm imagining this stuff. And so when the truth finally came to light, it was like, now I have my guard up completely. And I think the one thing that people don't talk about enough is how scary it is is to let go of that anger, because we've been vulnerable and now we got hurt to our deepest depths. And if I let go of this anger, which is protecting me, which is building up this wall around me, at least I know that I'm safe. At least I know I can't get hurt again if I'm shoving everyone else out. However, that also makes you miss out on so much of the beautiful things of life, even if you do feel broken, even if your story isn't how you thought it was going to be. But it is terrifying to let go of that anger in order to be vulnerable again and be able to let your significant other or other people in too, because there were, you know, we only selected to tell a small, very small group of people. There are a lot of my family members who still don't know what we've went through in our marriage. And some of the people, extremely supportive. Other people, not so much. My father-in-law, when we told him, which is a whole nother situation with their relationship, but his response back was, "I was really shocked, but I never needed to know this. This should have been handled in-house." And that was really disheartening to me, because I thought, hey, we need a village right now. We need our people to support us and to surround us. And again, to make sure like we can see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel versus just, well, you should have figured this out on your own. We don't need to know anything about this. It was really crushing. And again, that's why I wanted to share the story, for even if there is one woman listening to your podcast who is dealing with the struggles of trying to make it through, because I wanted to crawl into bed. I wanted to pull the covers up over my head every single day, but I had two little kids that I had to take care of. I had a business that I was still trying to run. And there were times when I would have to coach myself while I was walking through the store, one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. Because if I didn't tell myself that, I would have collapsed in the middle of Costco and probably been some crazy lady on a viral video being like, why is she crying, you know, in the middle of the store and can't get up? But it's so hard to feel like you are stuck and everyone else is just moving forward. And you feel like there is something wrong with you, that you can't get through this trauma, you can't get through this abuse. And I hope that my story can be an enlightening story for those suffering through this, whether they decide to stay or whether they decide to continue on.
Indeed, indeed. Wow, Angie, you are making it through. And you know what? It is not because you are 4 years into the next phase, which is a consensual choice of saving your marriage, because both you decided to save your marriage.
Correct.
You have to be both willing to keep it together.
Correct.
It's not because 4 years have passed that you and him are completely immune from anything of that matter popping up again.
Yeah.
However, with what you have experienced and learned in terms of toolbox, how to deal with that, how to not feel responsible for his choices,
mm-hmm.
how to hold yourself accountable for your choices too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the healing time thing. So something that I learned about myself through this whole process is that I had a really great childhood. And I can also look back and see how emotions and mental health things weren't really talked about in our household. It was kind of always just swept underneath the rug. So I had developed that when something bad happened, then I went into fix it mode, because I didn't know how to, and I didn't want to process the feelings. Like, this hurt to my depths. And the thought of sitting in my feelings and really going through that was overwhelming. So as soon as, you know, we found out, even that night, you know, I questioned him with, do you love her? Do you want to be with her? Which he answered no to. And I said, well, if you want any type of, you know, opportunity for this marriage to work, you're going to call and end it right now so that I can hear this, because it was a coworker. So that adds another layer of the story of how do you even put an ounce of trust as he goes off to work while you're still trying to go through this. But I also was like, okay, well, I made us a therapy appointment within days, and this is what we're going to do. And we're going to go to therapy, and this is plan A. And then we're going to go to plan B and all these types of things. And I wasn't allowing myself to really understand how to ride that wave of emotion, because leaving it inside and letting it fester was not going to be good for anyone. And I did so much research, and I remember going into our therapist and I was like, okay. So I looked, and it says that I should be able to get over this within 18 to 24 months. Like, where do you think I'm at? How long do you think I have to go? Like, I just needed again to know, like, there was some kind of hope at the end of the tunnel. Like, there was a light coming at some point. And of course, she looked at me and was like, I can't tell you that. There's a different healing journey for everybody, which is not what I wanted to hear. Because again, I was very like, hey, I just need the plan in front of me so I know that we can make it through it. So the healing time is going to be different for everyone. And I can still say that, you know, there are still times, especially around the season, when it happened, around the day that I discovered it, that I do get more emotional and that I do get a little bit more triggered around different situations. And again, that scar is there still, but it's not an open wound anymore where I feel like it keeps bleeding every time I get bumped. And so just for those listening, again, if you're going through this, like, don't put a limit or a timestamp on when you should be over this, because there's a different timeline for everyone. And those tools that you start developing together, and especially on your own, if you are the one who has been betrayed, are going to be so essential for how you continue to communicate in your relationship too. Because now my husband and I, we may still have disagreements. It may get brought up, and there's a lot of guilt that comes up for him, obviously. And there's still hurt that comes up for me when it gets brought up. However, the way we're able to use our words and communicate about the situation is much different now than it was 4 years ago.
Definitely. Absolutely. Okay. And how did you turn that into your business? Because you have become a parent coach.
Yes. Yeah. So about a year and a half into our journey, we were doing marriage therapy almost every week. We were, you know, implementing a lot of different things that was kind of strengthening us. However, there was that point that I thought, there is something still really broken in me, and I need to do the hard work in order to really move forward with this. Because again, my depression was horrible. My anxiety was through the roof. I was having PTSD all the time. And someone had encouraged me to look into an outpatient treatment. And I never really knew that was a possibility. And so I did some searching, and I enrolled in an intensive outpatient treatment for anxiety, depression, and PTSD. And I was in it for about 4 months. And it was the most amazing thing that I have ever done for myself. Putting me first, knowing that I deserved to have this time to work on myself, not just for me, but for my kids as well. And of course, it benefited my marriage too. But the things that they were teaching in this program, it felt like we were going from page one to page two. Whereas when we were in therapy, I felt like our therapist was saying, okay, here's page one, now let's go to page 10. And it just didn't feel connected. And so as I started really understanding how to listen to my body, how to express my emotions, how to understand what was going on in my mind when I'm outside of my sweet spot, it had like this great ripple effect of how it impacted my whole family. And I saw my kids using these tools, because we were going through the pandemic at the time as well. So, which I will say, for me, the pandemic, as horrible as it was kind of a saving grace for myself at the beginning, because it was a way to hide. Because of all that fear of, oh my gosh, what if people find out? What are they going to think of me? Gosh, they must think I'm a horrible wife if he chose to go out and do this. And so my kids were having a lot of emotions as they were entering school into the first year of like the pandemic. And we're going between, you know, in-person, hybrid, distance, all this different kinds of stuff. And I just thought, wow, they're being able to handle their emotions better. I'm able to handle my emotions better with these simple little tools that everyone should know about, not just because you've suffered abuse or went through trauma. And so I started sharing more of that information with people. And I was hearing things like, wow, why don't we know this? Gosh, I wish we were teaching our kids this in school. Or even empty nesters saying, gosh, I really wish I had these tools when my kids were younger, because they probably think all I did was yell. And so I don't know if I shared this quote in the beginning of the episode, but one of the quotes that someone said to me was, what if your biggest misery was your greatest ministry?
Yeah.
And again, I had a choice to take this really awful, horrible thing and be able to turn it into something beautiful. And that's how I developed the Parent Toolbox, where I help parents really work on emotional regulation and different tools that they can implement into their house so that they can raise some really awesome kids and they can feel more confident with how they approach their parenting. Because a lot of the tools that we were handed down just don't work. And we need to restock that with tools that are going to help us feel confident and create more calm in our houses.
That's amazing. You said, what if your biggest misery were your biggest
ministry?
Ministry.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's look at that question. What if your biggest misery were your biggest ministry?
Yeah.
This yeah. And that's become a life coach. This is how you transform your trauma, your pain, into a purpose to help others on their journey.
Absolutely. And if I could go back, and it would have never happened, like, my heart says, yes, that would be amazing if we never went through this. However, we have grown so much. And I've grown so much as a person, and my confidence and the tools that I've built for myself. And you know, there's always an extreme, right? Like, when we're faced with trauma, when we're faced with an abuse, we have a choice to go from one extreme to the other, where we really need to find the happy medium and the flexibility there to understand that life is going to throw different things at us. And it's really our choice on what path we're going to take on how to handle it. So again, I would never want to go through it. For those listening that have been through infidelity, my heart aches and pours out to you, because I understand. And I think that's been one of the greatest things that have happened over the last couple of years, is that a close friend of mine went through this. People that I know online have went through it, and I've been able to hold space for them, because again, that's what I needed in the very beginning, was to really find someone who understood what I was going through, who wasn't going to judge me for staying, and who was going to be able to offer some hope and guidance in this arena.
Definitely. So let us know, what is your website, something that we can look you up to and look you up to, I think it's correct. And yeah, what is your website?
Yeah, so my website is theparenttoolbox.info. And on there, you can find a lot of resources. I have my 3 steps to calm the emotional chaos in your home, which is a free download on there. And you can also always schedule a free call with me. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't really need parenting help, but I just need someone to hold space for me as I'm walking through infidelity and trying to kind of find my way, I still encourage you to schedule a call with me. And I am happy to hold that space for you as well.
You sound amazing. Thank you so, so much, Angie Weber. Thank you so much for being here today. This was Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. And you showed us another way of overcoming infidelity by rebuilding that trust that was once broken. Thank you.
Thank you.